This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler, heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. Welcome to the program with a unique focus on helping Canadians avoid probate. The one thing everyone should know about probate is that it's not inevitable. With some planning and good advice, you can avoid the exhausting, expensive, and time-consuming probate process and have your affairs settled quickly and privately. Speaking of good advice, here are your hosts of Avoid Probate.
Good morning, Zoomer listeners. Welcome to the Avoid Probate Show on this Sunday morning, AM 740. I'm Jason Laidler, here with the world-famous Ted Walshin, once again joining you on Sunday to talk about all things related to probate and how to avoid it. It is the Avoid Probate Show. Good morning, Mr. Walshin. How are you today?
I'm very well, and welcome to October.
Thank you. You know, I love it. Everyone says that, right?
It's a beautiful month. You know, it is. It's a beautiful month. It's full of colorful leaves, you know, the changing, and also to Halloween decorations. I love Halloween decorations.
Yeah.
Brightens everything up.
Well, I don't know about brightens it up.
Darkens it down.
Depends on your Halloween flavor.
People have pumpkins and, you know, colorful characters in your lawn and all kinds of stuff like that.
I don't know when Halloween falls. But
on a Tuesday.
I think we're having a Halloween party.
It's a Tuesday this year.
So if any of the listeners want to come to my Halloween party.
You're going to have a party on a Tuesday night?
It wouldn't be the first time.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, you don't have to go to school the next day. So.
True.
Doesn't matter.
I could just call it sick.
Today's National Seniors Day.
That's cool. That's obviously, you know, we're here delivering a very important message to all the listeners on AM 740. A lot of them are seniors. Let's not beat around the bush about that. That's one of the reasons we're on this station. That's not a coincidence. We don't apologize for that either. It's a good fit for us. We think it's a good fit for us. And it's a good fit for the listeners, of course, hopefully.
Not to say that everybody who listens to the station is a senior.
That's what I was trying to say. And certainly we know that's the case. Lots of non-seniors are listeners. I did read an interesting blurb about National Seniors Day. It's just a couple lines. I'll share it. Right now, it says National Seniors Day recognizes and celebrates the invaluable contributions made by seniors in communities across the nation. It is an opportunity for Canadians to express gratitude for their wisdom, experience, and lifelong accomplishments. The observance not only highlights the positive impact that seniors have on society, but also raises awareness of the challenges they face, such as ageism, lack of accessibility, and social isolation. And I wanted to add to that list, probate. They should have put probate in there. But yeah, I mean, we're talking to your cohort, right, Ted? Would you call yourself a senior?
Well, I am a senior. I'm almost 70.
That's what I was going to say. The government would call you a senior, right?
Well, you know what? You're not a senior. You're only in your 50s. But I think at Shoppers Drug Mart, for 55, you're a senior already. I think. Some places. I did an article years ago when I used to write for The Sun about where you can get discounts, seniors discounts. And there are some places that as early as 55, they start giving discounts, seniors discounts.
Yeah, and some people resent it because they don't want to be classed as a senior at such a young age.
Yeah.
Cracks me up when, you know.
Naive people.
Cracks me up when we're talking to elderly clients, elderly meaning, you know, 80 plus, and they tell me I'm a kid. I'm like, what? I'm 52 years old. I don't think that's a kid, but, you know, it's all relative, isn't it? It's all relative. Nope.
Well, you're closer to being a senior than you are being a kid, that's for sure.
All right, let's move on.
Oh, you're much closer.
Let's move on. Week today, are you going to be having some turkey supper?
Yeah. Yep. Going to my daughter's and celebrate Thanksgiving with my granddaughter and my son-in-law.
I'm looking forward to it. I love a good old-fashioned turkey dinner.
Yeah, I think we're having turkey. I'm not sure. I didn't even ask her. I know some people are not. I have a good friend who this year decided they're going to do a roast.
Roast beef.
I tried to convince my daughter to do brisket.
Mm.
Because my son has my son-in-law has a smoker, so and he'd go. I think my son will vote for that on with me as well. he looks brisket as well. But whatever they have, and I'll enjoy it. And one thing for sure that we'll have is pumpkin pie.
Yeah,
I love pumpkin pie.
Me too. It's the only pumpkin thing I like. I can't do pumpkin ice cream or pumpkin cookies or pumpkin milkshake or it's only pumpkin pie.
Yeah, we'll discuss more of that later on. Good news, by the way, for those of you who were planning on being in the Hamilton area, we haven't gone to Hamilton with a roadshow, and we should go there.
That's a good idea.
Because the Hammer is home to the Grey Cup this year, which is, of course, in November. And they've got
Argos.
They've got a two-day music festival going on, and they just announced the other day that one of the stars of the music festival is going to be Carrie Underwood.
That's awesome. Big fan.
It is. It is awesome. And what's really interesting is if you're an NFL fan, as am I, Sunday Night Football, which is the number one draw for NFL football fans, by the way, opens up every week with her singing the opening theme for Sunday Night Football. Carrie Underwood does.
I did not know that.
And I read an article that said that she gets paid $1 million per show to do that. And then my daughter's a huge Carrie Underwood fan, has told me that Carrie Underwood has denied that she gets paid that much. But for her 18 weeks of appearances, which are pre-taped, obviously, I'm sure she makes in the millions.
She's doing okay.
For sure. She does very well for herself.
I got to tell you and the listeners, friends of friends have a cottage in Halliburton, and the property they have borders Carrie Underwood's cottage property. She's got property in Halliburton. She comes in by float plane.
Oh, yeah, because her husband's from Peterborough.
Yeah, he's a hockey player, right?
Former hockey player. He's retired now.
Okay, so my friend's friend often is on her property doing maintenance and things for her, trimming trees and after a storm, that kind of thing. So, yeah, that's as close as I get so far.
That's
great. I haven't seen her in the flesh yet, but I've seen her trees, Ted. Okay.
I'm going to leave that right there. By the way, speaking of no, while you're on this, Taylor Swift, who is probably the biggest star and female singer in the world right now.
For sure.
She was at last 2 weeks ago. She was at a football game at the Kansas City game. She's dating. It looks like she's dating Travis Kelce, one of the players for the Kansas City Chiefs. And she was in the box and they kept showing her in the box cheering and he scored a touchdown. And just because of that, within the next 3 days, his jersey sales went up 400%.
Wow.
Because she was there cheering him on in, you know, with sitting beside Travis Kelce's mother. Just that's how much pull this girl has. Yeah. That's all really amazing. Amazing.
Did you buy one, Ted?
No. No.
All right. Well, it's too late now. I think they're sold out everywhere. You missed your chance.
Yeah, I don't think they're sold out.
You did not miss the chance here to learn something about avoiding probate on the Avoid Probate Show this week. We are going to cover the normal segments we cover every Sunday morning here. The Debbie Stanley segment is what I'm trying to say, solving the probate puzzle. We're going to touch on that briefly right after this first quick break. And then we're going to do something a little different. We're going to talk about... You mentioned the roadshow and that we should do one in Hamilton. I couldn't agree more. We did do one recently in a beautiful town called Ridgetown. We didn't have time to talk about it last week, so we're gonna discuss it this week because it was pretty cool and there was quite a few people in attendance. So I won't get into it right now, but we'll touch on that. We're going to do an email bag, of course, later on. The last week we introduced our newest member of the team, Colin Geese. He's joining us again this week to share some of his insight because he was at the roadshow in Ridgetown. So we want to hear some of his take on that as well. We'll cover all this stuff and more when we get back right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
Hi there, this is Jason Laidler from the Avoid Probate Show, and I'm pleased to say I'm having a conversation, a quick conversation, to introduce my friend Paul Portman from Portman Law, who is a regular contributor to the Avoid Probate Show. He's one of the lawyers on the team at avoidprobate.ca. Paul, how are you?
Good, good, Jason. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So you're one of the lawyers on the team because you have an expertise in law, specifically in what part?
So I specialize in estate law, litigation, and bear trusts. I do quite a bit of work in that area.
And I'm glad you mentioned bear trust, because we often talk on the Avoid Probate Show about how a bear trust can help avoid the probate on property, correct?
That's right.
And it's widely misunderstood, but it's something that you're able to help our listeners figure out and avoid the probate on their house, cottage, commercial property, whatever it might be, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And how does it work? Like, in a nutshell, the way the bear trust is set up, tell us real quick.
Yeah, so a bear trust in a lot of ways is like any other trust agreement. The major difference between a regular trust agreement and a bear trust is that the bear trustee doesn't really have any powers in relation to the trust. They can't really do anything other than what's explicitly in the bear trust agreement. And the bear trust agreement doesn't say anything other than they're holding legal title.
So really, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't create a tax event. It just simply avoids the probate nightmare.
That's correct.
Okay, and if listeners want to contact you directly, I mean, they can always reach you through us at avoidprobate.ca, but if they want to contact you directly, the best way to reach you is what?
They can contact me by email at paul@portmanlaw.ca. That's PORTMANLAW.ca. Or they can contact me by telephone at 647-527-5878.
And it doesn't have to be a bear trust question in particular, any estate question, you can help them out, correct?
That's right.
All right, well, thanks for being here today. And I know you've been a guest on the show in the past, and hopefully you'll be a guest in the future, and we will continue to work together to help all the listeners at AM 740 Zoomer Radio who have any estate planning questions. They can call Jason Laidler or they can call Paul Portman directly.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Avoid Probate Show, and we invite you to send us any questions or any comments that you may have, because you can help yourself and you can help others at the same time. The address for an email is, for our email, that is, info@avoidprobate.ca. That's our email address, info@avoidprobate.ca. Or you can call 1-844, that's toll free, 667-7628. 1-844-667-7628. And while you're there, go to the website, www.avoidprobate.ca, and you'll find a free probate calculator there. You can play around with that, and it'll give you a general idea of how much probate might be payable on your estate. Jason?
Yep, thanks, Ted. Normally, regular listeners will know this is where we hear the lovely voice of Debbie Stanley. Sounds very different than mine does, for sure, and Ted's and Colin's. But Debbie is still tanning on a beach in Greece somewhere, I believe. I don't know about you, Ted. I haven't received my postcard yet. But anyway, she's not here to give us the weekly update on the real probate file that she is processing and sharing with us in real time. What do I mean by real file? It's a real deceased person that is a client of Debbie's. We talk about getting two types of phone calls here on the Avoid Probate Show. We want to help people avoid probate as much as possible, but that's an active process that needs involvement before mom or dad passes away. But obviously we get calls after the fact, and we certainly want to help these people as much as we can. But really, that's the most we can do in that scenario when it's too late is to bring Debbie Stanley into the picture, because she's the expert on processing the documents.
Yeah.
Right? They're court documents. They're superior court documents. There are many. And because every situation is different, it's not the same document in every case. And she knows which ones need to be processed and which ones don't. And they're changing all the time. We were joking not too long ago about the fact that the province changed the court documents twice in a 6-month period of time. So there's just no way an average person can know this stuff and keep track of this stuff. So that's why we have Debbie Stanley on board. She's a professional executor, And she's the person that we go to. We trust her. We know she does good work. And so she does this segment every Sunday morning where we listen to her update on the file. Right now it's called Roxy Moo, Roxy Moo. Roxy was her late puppy, late dog that passed away. Roxy Moo was the slang. She's a term of endearment, I guess. And Roxy Moo's last we heard before Debbie went off on her lovely long vacation to warmer places, last we heard the application for probate had been submitted along with a check. Remember, you pay your probate bill up front with the application to the Minister of Finance on day one. It's an estimated amount, of course, because on day one, you just don't know the actual real value of the total estate. It's almost impossible to know that. I mean, if it was one account, if mom had one bank account, just say it's a checking account, one checking account with some money in it, and that's it. And I mean, that's it. Okay, then yeah, we could figure out what the accurate value of the estate was on the date of death. But that doesn't happen, right? Nobody has one bank account and that kind of thing. So the point is, there's work involved in determining what the actual value is, and that takes time. The government gives you time to do that work. You're on the clock. You are on the clock, but you do have time to do that work. So we're expecting exciting things from Debbie next Sunday on the Thanksgiving weekend when we come back to the Avoid Probate Show, because she'll have had 2 weeks of stuff happening behind the scenes, just because she's not here, of course. We know there's still stuff happening behind the scenes. She has a staff at her office who are taking care of things in her absence. And who knows, maybe the certificate will have been issued while she was gone. But I'm going to bet no on that, because this is, I believe, week 16. I think it's too early. It's a pretty clean estate, I guess, by all accounts. A condo and a couple bank accounts, the virtual account. Yeah, but it's still, I think, too early to assume that the province or the court where the papers were submitted. Just as a reminder, you need to submit your application for probate in the municipality wherein the deceased person lived. So you don't have a choice. It would be nice if you had a choice. You could go to quieter courthouses or less busy courthouses, but that's not an option. So that's what's happened here. We'll get an update from Debbie next week when she gets back from her vacation. So that's it for solving the probate puzzle today. Not very exciting, but like I said, she's not here. We were going to talk about, in her absence, we mentioned the recent roadshow presentation in beautiful Ridgetown, Ontario. Colin Gies, welcome back to the show. You were here last
week. Hi, Jason. Hello, Jason. Hello, Ted.
Hi. Have you back?
Hi, Colin.
Somebody, great to be here. By the way, Colin, one of the listeners was impressed that you've joined the team and asked me for the spelling of your last name.
It is G-I-E-S.
And it is Gies, right?
It's Gies. I'm a Kitchener boy. Very popular in that area.
You're popular everywhere, Colin. Come on.
Thanks, Jason. I am now that I'm on your show.
Yes, absolutely. That's how it goes here. Yeah. Avoid Probate Show. Colin and Ted and myself, we all had the pleasure of being at this roadshow presentation. And we would have had Debbie Stanley there as well. But like I said, she's getting a sunburn, so she couldn't make it. But
Jason, you know, before we get too far,
jump in.
I thought of something fun that would be maybe some interesting listener engagement. Not to make light of a situation, but I'm actually interested to hear people's feedback that are listening to this live probate process that Debbie's going through for her client, and what they actually think the amount of time it will take for this estate to be settled, for the probate process to be done. I think it would be interesting if people emailed in, sent us a message and let us know what their guesstimate is of how long. What week are we in now?
16.
16.
That includes that includes Debbie's absence the past 2 weeks. So there hasn't been a lot of work done, but we were in the waiting phase anyway when she left. But you're talking about, like, you know, like count the jelly beans in the jelly bean jar and estimate how many there are to win, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm just curious to see how many, if people have been through this process before, and if they have an idea of what they feel might be an appropriate amount of time for this process to get done, and just how accurate most of our listeners are. I know there's so many variables that go in place, but I'm just looking at the over under.
Yeah, and I was
Well, it depends. I mean, Jason asked this question at the show when we did the roadshow, and some people who had already gone through probate, one person said that they had taken them over a year. Somebody said it took them 10 months. So I don't think there is an answer to that question. Not that I want to rain on your jelly bean jar contest parade.
No, but you're right. It's definitely not going to be the same every time.
Well, and I also wanted to comment, what our, you use the word appropriate, like the time, you know, what I think is an appropriate amount of time for the government to do anything compared to the real amount of time it takes. They're not going to be the same very often, I'm sure. You know,
probably not.
A couple of weeks would be nice, but that's what we're doing, right? Our solution, and maybe hopefully we'll talk about what the solution looks like to avoiding this probate mess. And we did talk about it in Ridgetown, of course. When you adopt our solution, which involves, I'll just touch on it real quick, involves a transfer of assets from the bank to an insurance company where we can name beneficiaries. That solution, once that's done, you're looking at, to Colin's point, an appropriate amount of time. It literally is a few weeks. You know, if I get, as soon as I get the paper, the death certificate and the other document that we required to begin selling the estate for mom or dad, whoever passed away, once the insurance company has those documents, it takes them no time at all. Well, I can't say no time at all. It takes a couple of weeks. And in one case, it was 2 weeks to the day. A lady in Burlington passed away a couple years ago now. And from the time I got the documents and submitted them to the insurance company, it was literally 2 weeks to the day that the checks were cut. And that's what I'm talking about compared to 9 months, 10 months. Yeah, I forget who said it here on the panel. We did ask the question. I think it was Ted. And I was surprised, Ted, at how many hands went up when we asked the question, who's been through probate recently? And the one lady, I believe, said that she's still in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it started January of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So we are now in month 10, like just literally as of today. Did I get that right? October's month 10. Yeah. Holy cow. The year flies.
That was a great audience in Ridgetown. Everyone seemed engaged. A lot of great questions. That was a terrific show.
Yeah. Thanks again to, it was put on by the Catholic Women's League in town. They did a great job. Shout out to Barbara for heading that project and keeping everything buttoned up nice and tight. They actually turned people away, if you can believe it. There was just because obviously there's concerns for hall capacities. We don't want to exceed fire regulations. And so we did not do that. And there were a lot more people who apparently, according to Barbara, who reached out to who wanted to attend, but they were too late. It was booked. And so there's actually rumors we may be going back for round two, which would be
fingers wonderful. Crossed.
If you've never been there, by the way, it's a very pretty town. And it's kind of cool, right? Especially if you live in a city the size of Toronto or any major city, really. As you drive through the city, suddenly you come upon a cornfield on one side or the other side of the road, which is kind of, it's like, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. Very, very, very nice people. And it was a real pleasure being there. We had really quite enjoyed it.
And everybody's properties were immaculately maintained.
I noticed that too.
Did you? Yeah.
I saw the same thing. Going down what I would call the main street, I don't know. It was the main street. I would have guessed it was. And there's residences. It wasn't all just business. And I was like, wow, like these places are manicured. It looked
stunning.
It was very nice. I thought it might be a good idea, gentlemen, because we do these roadshows, and I guess it's a good time to remind the listeners, the roadshow is available to be booked, to come and speak to your organization, the service club is what I was trying to say. Whether it's a service club, this happened to be a church group, your book club, your knitted club, whatever the case may be, if you've got a few people who are meeting on a regular basis and you think they might benefit from the information that we're sharing. And it is totally different, right, when it's in person. And I want to expand. We're going to come back to that because I think what we should do as a bit of a summary is just review the main questions, because it seems to me, and tell me, gentlemen, if you agree or not, there's a not a theme, but there's a continuity. It's the same questions, right? Every time we're presenting the road show, generally the questions are the same, no matter where we go. And they're excellent questions, but it drives the point to me that this message is so important because everyone's asking the same question. Like, for example, what's probate? And then there's the list goes on and on. But should we do that? Should we cover off?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, here is sort of the top five, I guess, if you will, questions that were asked and are asked. We've done, I think, four of these already. What is probate is the first question that comes up, which we tackle right at the outset because it's important for people to understand exactly what probate is. So some people have different opinions of what probate is, but there's really only one answer to what it is. And
so much misinformation. And we saw that. We don't, people would say what they wanted to clarify something and I was we just correct them. That's wrong. It's I don't know where you got the French. It's wrong. But Ted's right. It makes sense for us to start the show off by talking about what probate is because you know the fact is that there were, I don't want to say children, there were multi-generations in attendance, right? So mom had her two adult kids, for example. Mom dragged the adult kids to the presentation. And that's fantastic because then everybody gets to hear the message at the same time and they can talk amongst themselves quietly and, you know, get on the same page. And that is so important when we're talking about these important estate planning issues and decisions. And so for the benefit of people who have been dragged to the roadshow who don't have a clue what probate is.
Well, I don't know if they were dragged there.
Maybe a bit dramatic.
You make it sound like it's a painful experience.
No, it's a beautiful experience. What are you talking about? But you're right. So the probate, I start off by defining it like this. It is the public, emphasis on public, court process. You need to begin before you can complete settling or begin settling the estate of a deceased person in Ontario or any of the other provinces or territories in the country except Quebec. So it is a court process. And one thing I don't think we talked about, and it's my bad the other day, was when we say it's public, we say it's public for a reason. That's because it's not private. And that's important to a lot of people. And the solution, when we avoid the probate nightmare, that helps protect your privacy. And that, like I said, that is important to a lot of people. Anybody can go to the courthouse and retrieve probate documents on any estate they want to have a look at or
but aren't wills considered to be public property?
Exactly. Absolutely. So the will is public, the probate documents are public, everything in the court is public. The courts are open to the public. That's our court system, right? It's transparent. That's what they say. So that's how we start things off is defining what probate is, and then boy, we go from there, and then we get all kinds of interesting questions.
Yeah.
But again, there's a theme. You know, what's another one, Ted, that we got the other day?
I have a will. Does that mean I can avoid probate?
Yes. Mm. Very common misconception. Again, one of those misconceptions. You know, having a will does not avoid probate, full stop. In fact, the probate process validates your will. People are confused. Like, it seems so abstract. What is probate? What is the process? What's happening in this process? Well, what's happening, it is kind of abstract, but we can kind of button it down a little bit. Two things mainly are happening. The province is recognizing that this will is going to be the one we use. So this will is legit because if it's going to be challenged, so be it. The challenges will all be done at some point. And now they've made a decision. This is the will we're going to use. It's not always challenged, of course, but that's what happens. And then part B, this person is going to be the executor because there could be challenges there as well. So no.
You know what I think, Jason, is that a lot of people think the probate process is something that happens if you die without a will.
I think you're right, Colin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it does. It does happen if you die without a will, right?
And what is that called if you die without a will?
It's called intestacy. Dying intestate, I-N-T-A-S-T-A-T-E, if I did that right, intestate. And if you die without a will, you know, the cheeky comeback for that is the province has a will for you. And that's referring to something called the Succession Law Reform Act, where, and there's multiple acts in the legislation which speak to how the estate gets settled if there's no will. because it depends on every situation.
Right.
You know, if there's a person with special needs, then there's a different act that speaks to that. It gets complicated, and boy, now it's in the courts for a long time, and the public guardian is acting on your behalf, which is not always ideal.
Mm-hmm. So that's intestacies is what people are avoiding by creating a will.
Yes.
They are not avoiding probate.
No.
That's right.
No. And well, the interesting thing is how few people, the percentage-wise, have a will. And many people, when you ask them, say, why do you not have a will? Well, because I really don't have the money to spend it with a lawyer. Well, first of all, you don't have to go to a lawyer to get a will done. True. There are companies that can do that. You can buy how to do a will packages. And if you want, I mean, really, like, just take a piece of paper and, you know, print out a list of what you would like done upon your death, sign it, date it, have somebody co-sign it as a witness, and there's your will.
Yeah, you're right, Ted. There are will kits. Of course, lawyers look down their nose at these evil things, will kits, but, you know, the lawyers are making their money doing wills. I get it. And rightly so,
mm-hmm.
Because if it's not done right and you open yourself up for challenges, man, that really defeats the purpose. And the lawyer doesn't want to get sued either for not including a certain clause that might have avoided the challenge from the beginning. So people do sometimes people turn their nose up at the cost of getting the will done. I don't see it that way, of course. I think it's just a necessity. It's like buying car insurance. I mean, no one likes to pay for car insurance. I get it. But it is what it is. And you want to drive, you have to have car insurance. You want to have your estate settled according to your wishes, you have to have a will. You know, if the estate is very small, well, then it's not an issue sometimes. Yeah. But I want to carry on with a review of some of these main codes. There's a few more, I think, on the list, Ted, but let's take a quick break and we'll come back right after this quick break and pick up where we left off and talk about some of these other common questions that we dealt with at the Ridgetown version of the Avoid Probate Roadshow just not too long ago. We'll be right back after this.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
It's time to gear up for fall with cool weather fashions from the very cool Kensington Market. Hey, it's Ted Wallace in Fort Tom's Place, where you're invited to check out the latest fall fashions that have just arrived. And since it is Tom's Place, even the new arrivals are on sale. Fall colors, new patterns, fresh designs, designer slim fit suits sold elsewhere for as much as $600 start at only $179 at Tom's Place. Check out Tom's fabulous collection of S. Cohen and other designer suits. Regular, $3 for $1,200, slashed for radio listeners to $1,100. Pick out a couple of sports jackets. Selected sports jackets are now 50% off, plus selected dress and casual pants, 50% off. Play it cool at Tom's Place, 190 Baldwin Street in the heart of Kensington Market. Tom's Place will suit you.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back. This is the Avoid Probate Show. Ted Walsh here with Jason Laidler and Colin Gies as well. And the information that we provide for you in this program is for general consumption only, not intended to provide particular legal or investment advice. And of course, every situation is different. So if you have legal or investment questions, you should speak with a licensed expert. We have them on hand and you can contact us. Email address is info@avoidprobate.ca, avoid probate, one word, info@avoidprobate.ca, or you can call us toll free 1-844-667-7628. 1-844-667-7628. There you go. So we were listing off the five One of the most popular questions that are asked of us at these roadshows that we put on for you, and please, if you're interested in us in hosting us for one of these, just no charge. We just come, we show up, and we set up, and we answer questions and hopefully help people out. Please contact us, and we'll do the best we can to fit you into the schedule. Here's a question here.
Before you get to the next question, Ted, you mentioned no charge. I want to just emphasize that because there's also no charge for the one-on-one consultation. And, you know, obviously in a group setting, we're not getting, you know, down and dirty with everybody's individual circumstances. This is not possible to make that happen. So we encourage people, we encourage the listeners every week here on the Avoid Probate Show. If you do want a discussion, like one-on-one, we're happy to do that. And that's a no-charge consultation. We will come to you and spend an hour of time getting a better idea of what your individual situation looks like and how we can help you avoid probate or do estate work or whatever.
And I'm glad you mentioned that because it comes up all the time. People say, well, how do you get paid? How do you get how do you get paid? How much don't I pay you? How do you get paid? And then when you bring up, for example, you bring up and this is something that has to be paid, but you don't get any money for it. That's a bare trust because that has to go through a lawyer. And the lawyer charges for that. You don't. Correct. In fact, Jason doesn't get paid by anybody other than the insurance company for the referral. And they all offer the same commission so that it's all an equal playing field. So you do not have to write a check to Jason for his intellect or his knowledge.
The services we provide.
Yeah.
Well done. Yeah, well said. What was the next question?
Yeah, my bank advisor said, if I want to avoid probate, all I have to do is add my kids as joint owners to my accounts. Is that good enough?
So I remember this question. I don't know if you do. Colin, the gentleman, was exactly where he was. And I was talking, what I thought was interesting was I was talking about beneficiaries. And I was explaining, you know, the solution, moving the money from the bank to the insurance company, putting a beneficiary on it that avoids probate. And this gentleman put up his hand and he said something about, but my kid's on as a joint owner. And I explained to him that that's not the same thing. Don't confuse joint ownership with beneficiary. Right? Right. Think about that for a minute. They are different. I get it. We throw a lot of terms out loosely here because that's the way this thing rolls at the Avoid Probate Show, a lot of terminology. And we're used to it. Listeners are not. So there is a difference, obviously, between a joint owner and a beneficiary, very different, right? So that's that. This topic, of course, holy moly, we could spend an hour easy, and we have spent an hour. You can go to past shows where we talk about the pitfalls of joint ownership. The pitfalls of joint ownership, and there are several, and I'll highlight them real quick for you right now. These are some of the pitfalls. There are others, of course, but mainly I like to summarize them as taxation complications. Now, remember, what I'm talking about is, so you're at the bank and you're concerned about probate or your estate being settled quickly and easily, and the bank person says, yeah, sure, no problem, Mrs. Smith. Just add, you know, one or two or three of your adult children onto the account. I mean, a three just makes me shake my head, but it happens. It's crazy, but it happens. And that's what we're talking about. So now the account is not just mom's, it's jointly held. And that causes potential taxation complications. It causes potential ownership challenges. And I use the example, I got a giggle because I used an example, you know, mom puts me on the account, mom passes away. I'm thinking I'm rich. And my sister comes to me and says, what are you talking about, Jason? You know, mom wanted you to share that money between the two of us. And I'm like, what are you talking about, little sister? Get lost. She liked me better than she liked you. It's all mine. And of course, call the lawyers. And here we go into the courts for the next 3 years, blah, blah, blah. That's what I mean by an ownership challenge. It's not clear. Right? Mm-hmm. And that happens. You don't think that happens? Holy smokes. Of course it does.
And it can be very subtle. Child may say, listen, I was managing mom's accounts. I was helping her get organized at home with the care that they needed. And you were off doing this and didn't want to be bothered.
Yep.
And as part of my compensation, I feel like I'm entitled to a little bit more, a bigger slice of this pie because of all the work that I did, which is...
Yeah. Or you don't even live in the province. What are you talking about? Like, you don't even live here. Or, or, you know, you already got your piece of the pie because mom lent you some money for the house that you bought. Mm-hmm. You know, all kinds of scenarios, countless scenarios. Mm-hmm. But that's the second potential problem. And we haven't got to the third one yet, which is maybe my favorite. Well, I shouldn't say that, sounds sinister, but it's the exposure mm-hmm. part. So what does that mean? Well, the money's on the table. If you're an owner, and if you're on joint, you're an owner. There's no mm-hmm. two ways about it. So you're an owner. You have ownership there. That money's on the table to your access to your creditors, your behaviors, your lawsuits, your unhappy spouse who was already thinking of leaving the marriage maybe. Well, now's a good time because you just got $500,000 richer because mom put you on the account, et cetera, et cetera. I know this is not happy lollipop and rainbow conversation stuff, but this is the Avoid Probate Show, and this is the reality, and we are really trying to.
Yeah, and what happens if you have, let's say, you have two children, and you make both of them, you put both of them on, and so now the house is owned by three of you.
Yep.
And your kids turn to you one day and say, you know, mom, we think it's a good time right now to sell the house. The market's right, and it's going to take a downturn. So, Bob and I decided that we're going to sell the house.
Yep.
And mom's sitting there going, like, no, I don't want to sell the house. Well, then we vote on it. It's three votes. Two of them say sell the house. We're selling the house, mom.
Yeah. Or mom wants to sell and downsize, and the kids are like, no, this housing market is hot. We're not selling. We want to keep it.
And the other thing people don't think about is this. Like, okay, it's easy. It takes 2 seconds to add the child to the account. Try getting them off.
Yeah.
You know, like, people don't think about that. I mean, there could be reasons, if things don't go swimmingly, there could be reasons to remove this person from the account while there's still a few dollars left in it.
Yeah.
Good luck.
That is one thing I like about our solution with the beneficiary designation, because you can change beneficiaries as the owner of the account. Is that right, Jason?
You can change the beneficiary or the ratio. You know, we get both requests. It's very rare to change the beneficiary, but it can happen if somebody predeceases mom or dad or whatever. But more commonly, they're like, you know, I've decided I want to make it 65-40 instead of 50-50. Yeah, okay. Because we just lent the daughter $150,000, so we're going to make an adjustment to, you know, the beneficiary.
60-40.
Sorry. Did I say? I was just to see if you're paying attention there, Colin.
When I said we have licensed professionals to assist you, they're also there to assist Jason. Obviously, he's not going to give you any solid math advice.
So I do love that you can change beneficiaries if needed or necessary and make those adjustments. But when you do add someone to a joint account as a joint owner, you don't have that same control. I guess it's really all about control, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. That's why when people say, well, I'm just going to gift everything to my kids, you know, before I pass away. Well, A, you know, you want to lose control of everything. I mean, and by the way, when are you going to pass away? I love that theory. Obviously, we don't know. Some people know. Okay. There's exceptions to every rule. We talk in generalities here on the Avoid Probate Show, but we have to do that for obvious reasons. But you want to gift it all and then cross your fingers and.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think it is important to recognize that people are living longer, and the cost of care as you age is just increasing. It's pretty ridiculous sometimes with assisted living, what it costs to fund that, especially over an extended period of time. So, you gift that money out that you're not earmarking or thinking about needing it down the road, and then do you ask for it back? Or I guess it can be challenging.
And you've got to remember, as much as we believe that healthcare is free in this country, that's a fallacy, because not all healthcare is free. For example, there are certain medications. I know my mother's case, she had problems with her eyes. Well, she had to get this special medication that was incredibly costly that is not covered. Not all things are covered. Your PSA test, for example, is not covered. You pay for that. So, you know, you need to get crutches. Or you need to get there are a lot of things that are not covered. So please don't think that you're going to be living off the government in terms of your health care 100%, because that is not true. And Lord knows what's going to happen down the road. Speaking of houses, question number four is, how do I avoid probate on my house?
Yeah, this comes up, of course, a big question. Obviously, it's usually the biggest asset in the estate. I get that. So, it's a two-pronged attack. That's how I refer to it. There's the money at the bank, and I know it's not always at the bank, but let's pretend it is. We do that transfer over to the insurance company, solves the problem there. By the way, we're not transferring everything. You keep the checking account. This comes up too. You keep the checking account. You keep the credit card. You pay your hydro bill at the bank. You go in on Thursdays, say hi to a nice lady behind the counter, whatever. But we're talking about the money you don't think you need to access anytime soon. That's the money we want to transfer and avoid the probate on. The bulk of it. You know, if you've got to pay a little bit of probate, that's better than paying probate on everything. So we can avoid probate for sure.
Important to mention there, too, that you may not think you need to access it, but if you do need to access it, you still can.
That's right, because it's not locked in, because we don't lock in anything. So good point, Colin. Thanks for that. You can access that money with a quick phone call. Hey, Jason, I need $20,000 for a new roof on my house, a new car, a cruise around the world with the grandkids. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. We don't judge. It's your money. Just tell us when you need it, and we'll put it in the checking account. It doesn't cost anything. But to Ted's question about the house, so that's the money part. The house, you've heard it here. If you're a regular listener, we recommend something called a bear trust, B-A-R-E. I have to spell it because it's not the grizzly bear kind of bear. It's the bare naked kind of bear, and it is a stripped-down version of a trust. If there are trust people out there who know something about trust, this is a different version. There's no beneficiaries in a bear trust, which might surprise some people. So it is different. It also doesn't create a tax event. When you settle the trust with an asset, if there's an unrealized capital gain on that asset, normally that would trigger a tax event. That does not happen with the bear trust. Now, if it's your principal residence, it wouldn't matter anyway, because remember, the principal residence is tax exempt. But we can put other things in there, like the cottage or the rental property. Shares of a Canadian corporation that you might own.
But you can only use a bear trust if your house is paid for.
That's right.
Right. So if, for example, you have three cars that are paid for, you can set them up in a bear trust outside of the house. But the house, unless it's paid for, and more people's houses are not paid off because they've taken out equity loans in their house to help their kids buy a house because of the cost of housing nowadays. So a bear trust, although is a great thing, is not for everybody.
That's right. And we are doing a reverse mortgage for one of our clients right now. Colin, we should make a point of making some time to talk about the other addition to the team who's going to be our lead for reverse mortgage work and or home equity loans. Things like that, like to Ted's point, that's a reality. And if that's what it takes to keep mom happy in the home, there's no shame in that whatsoever. There's nothing wrong with it.
This individual is a consummate professional. I'm really excited when he can come on the show and we can introduce him. He's going to give us updates on the housing market in areas around the GTA, mortgage trends, interest rate trends, how they're impacting borrowing and lending as it relates to real estate. He's terrific, and that's coming soon. So keep listening. We'll get him.
Stay tuned for that. Having said that, I did want to cover off a couple other questions, but we're going to leave some time here for the last segment because there's a few household items and things we want to cover before the hour is wrapped up. So we'll leave it at that for now. Great review, though, gentlemen. Thank you for your input with the review of the roadshow. So with that, we'll go to our quick break here and we'll come back right after this.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
A diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease or dementia for you or someone in your life can be challenging. You don't have to face it alone, especially when help and support are so close at hand. The Alzheimer's Society of Ontario can connect you with experts, education and care, valuable resources, and people who really want to help. Connect with us. The Alzheimer's Society of Ontario at ourconnectionsmatter.com.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Avoid Probate Show, and our info at avoidprobate.ca email address is standing by waiting for your questions and your comments. That's info at avoidprobate.ca. That's how you can fire off a question or a comment. You can also give us a call. We have a toll-free number. It's 1-844-667-7628. 1-844-667-7628. And also drop by the website, avoidprobate.ca, www.avoidprobate.ca. You'll find there a listen to the show button. If you press the button, you can listen to past episodes for those that you may have missed, or for an episode that you wanted to hear once again because there's a specific piece of information that you are looking for. And speaking of the website and things of that nature, Colin Gies has an update for us on that.
Yeah, we've done some cool additions to our website, more to come. One of them is a sign-up option at the bottom of our page. So if you land on avoidprobate.ca, scroll to the bottom. Don't scroll too quickly. There's some great information and resources in there, including the link to listen to the podcast and access all the past radio shows and podcasts. But right at the bottom, you can sign up. What that sign-up does is that every week, shortly after the radio show airs, you'll be sent out a link to the podcast. So just in case you missed it, you can find it. If you have a friend that you think would like to listen to the show, you can forward it to them. You'll also receive a quarterly newsletter from our founder and president, Jason Laidler, just kind of keeping everyone on page of new trends and what's happening throughout the year. And any other updates that come through avoidprobate.ca can be sent to you. It's a great little tool that we've got. And again, allows our listeners to hear the show, keep in touch beyond just Sunday mornings at 8 a.m.
And Colin, if I can jump in, I think it's worth clarifying. When we say podcast, we're talking about the radio show. Mm-hmm. So it's not something different or new. It's just a new term. A lot of people aren't familiar with how the podcasting thing works. We just, once the show's recorded and it gets put out there in cyberspace, it's basically called a podcast after that. And that's what we're talking about. That's what Colin's talking about. So we could substitute the word podcast with radio show. If you want to hear the radio show, it's available as what they call a podcast. And we're going to be actively sending it out.
That's right. And a whole, like you said earlier, with these recurring questions, the message still isn't out there. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to educate the citizens of Ontario about what this probate process is and what their options are so they can make informed decisions about how to plan their estate. One of the other things we have on the website now is links to our social media accounts. Mm-hmm. I know this is kind of out there for some people, but you know, if you have kids or even grandkids that you know are really active on social media, we'd love to hear them or from them because we're trying to get this message in the avoidprobate.ca education and information as far reaching as we can. So if you don't have someone in your family that you know is active on these social media accounts, we're new to it, we can use the help. We need some guidance. So
you'd be surprised how many people are on Facebook though. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, elderly people, right? It's not really a domain just for the young and hip.
You know, not young and hip. But
you may not get as many people on list, you know, follow you on Twitter, but on Facebook, a lot of people are on Facebook. True. Of all ages.
Ted, speaking of far reaching, tell us quickly about your podcast this week.
This week, Brent Butt, the man who brought us the great comedy show Corner Gas, has stepped out of his normal gig and has written a novel. It's a murder mystery called Huge, and it involves three comedians on tour, and it's really quite fascinating book. And the book is called Huge: In Comedy, Killing is a Good Thing. So we'll talk to Brent Putt about his book. There's some funny parts in the book, but it's not a funny book. It's a grabber. It's a page turner.
That's interesting. Sounds great. Yeah. Okay. Thanks for that, Ted. All right, listeners, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Avoid Probate Show. It goes fast, I know. Time flies. Got to thank Colin Keith for joining us again. Debbie Stanley, who's not here, which she will be here next week. Thanks to Ted Wallison for his decades of radio excellence. Thanks, of course, to Kelly, our amazing producer behind the glass. You can't see her, but we can, and we're glad she's there to keep us on track every Sunday. Hopefully, she'll keep us on track again same time next week. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You've been listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler. Heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.